NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
Sup, my dudes?
Welcome back.
This is Not a Monster, Not a Boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
And I'm Lex.
And today we have part two of Dahmer for you.
I don't know if I'm excited or worried.
Yeah.
A little bit of both.
So last time difference? Was a mess. Last time was a mess.
Disaster.
That whole case is just fucking yikes.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we're going to get more yikes in this one.
Yay.
This is one of those where it's like it gets worse and it will continuously get worse.
Even the end's bad.
Oh yeah. From now to the end, it's just going to keep escalating.
All right.
So, same content warning as before.
Also, if you haven't listened to part one, go listen to part one.
Yes.
Yeah, otherwise you're going to be lost.
There's no context.
So, Dahmer, now with a free plane ticket to wherever in America he would like.
Because of his discharge from the military.
Yes.
Yes.
Dahmer felt he could not return to Ohio and face his father, so instead he moved to Florida, where he lived in a motel and worked in a deli, spending most of his paychecks on alcohol, which caused him to get kicked out of the motel, and he didn't have enough money for a room anymore, because he just kept spending it.
Okay.
Instead, he opted to sleep on the beach for a while until giving in and returning to his father's home in Ohio. He lived there for a short period of time before he was sent to live with his grandmother, hoping that it would help him quit alcohol, since he was she was the only person that Dahmer would show affection for in the family.
Interesting.
Yeah. So.
I'm just trying to be quiet because I know things, so.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
This is the last portion where you have to do all the reacting. So Dahmer would go with her to church and help her around the house, but it did very little to stop his drinking and smoking. He held a job for a short period of time as a phlebotomist, so a person that takes your blood. He then proceeded to expose himself to a crowd of 25 women and children at a park and was arrested for indecent exposure.
That's weird.
Yeah,
that was like sporadic in terms of what we're used to for him.
Well, and, like, there are instances for, like, the rest of the cases. I don't bring all of them up because it flow of things. But he tends to expose himself to people pretty often. It's
weird. Ew.
Yeah.
Also sadism.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
Non-consensual.
I mean, voyeurism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Non-consensual.
Yeah.
He was let go from his job as a phlebotomist shortly after this and lived off the money his grandmother would give him. He would get another job at a chocolate factory, and his life seemed fairly normal for a bit, until he was thrown a note by a stranger while he was reading in the library. The note said, the note was an offer from the man to suck his dick, which Dahmer didn't respond to, but I imagine fucking shocked him because he was thrown back into his fantasies of domination from when he was a teenager. And he familiarized himself with the local gay bars, bathhouses, and bookstores. So it was kind of like a awakening for him, I feel. Mm-hmm. So, cool.
Bold move.
Yeah, very bold. Yeah. I was reading that, I'm like, would that ever actually work on somebody? Or am I just...
I'm sure it worked on a lot of people back in the day. Well, you gotta be secret about shit, dude.
Yeah, that's true.
True.
That's true. For your own protection. Like.
Yeah. This time frame's a mess. So he even stole a male mannequin from a store once, and he would use it for a sexual simulation, and he would hide it in his closet until his grandmother found it and demanded that he got rid of it.
Didn't Dennis Nelson do something similar?
I don't think so.
Or did he just dressed up and was like super into himself? Fucking weird buffalo.
Yeah, right. Would you fuck me?
I don't actually remember. I think it was, he would keep the bodies, but he would like talk.
Yeah, didn't he do his makeup like a corpse though?
Yes,
to gratify himself.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So twisted.
I blocked out the whole fact that he bought big mirrors and shit for that.
Can't so forget he
could it. Pose like a corpse.
Can't forget and act it.
Dead. Yeah, I forgot about that.
You're welcome.
I repress things from these episodes, okay?
Yeah, I would say I do
repress
too.
A lot of things I hear or say. By 1985, he was a regular at these locations and would hook up often. But he would become annoyed when his partners would move during sex, so he began to administer sleeping pills to them. In the following year, he would lace liquor with sedatives and would sexually assault their unconscious bodies. He trained himself to view people as objects of pleasure instead of as people, end quote.
Dangerous.
Yeah, yep. There it is.
Very dangerous.
Yeah.
The After corpse. 12 instances of this in the bathhouses, they revoked his membership, so he had to move his ACT hotel rooms.
I love how people are like, we know that you're drugging and raping people, just don't come back. Bye.
Yeah, right. They don't and report this.
It took 12 men to come forward.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Before they did that.
Mm-hmm. As if all this wasn't fucked up enough, Dahmer read in the newspaper one morning that there would be a funeral for an 18-year-old boy, and he decided he would go to the grave and steal the corpse. He failed at this because the ground was too hard and he gave up.
You don't have the tenacity like Ed Gein did, I guess.
No. Ed Gein's no, a fucking monster of a
the,
man.
The graves at Ed Gein's time are like flimsy. They're like shallow, you know.
Yeah, but it's like you'll see you're on the surface in a few months.
True. It's he was tenacious.
That man wanted bodies. Okay.
Yeah.
When there is a will, there's a way. Ed Gein. At Ed Gein.
Someone make a motivational poster, but it's just Ed Gein.
Oh my god.
That.
No. Oh, fuck. You don't need to tell me I can't get to this corpse. I got time.
Now that you told me I can't, I have to.
Yeah, he's at the end. So much time on his hands. Like, what a weirdo.
Oh my god. Fucking damn it.
That was one of our earlier episodes. Yeah.
I think it was literally.
Like three. Yeah. You did it.
So yeah, I did. I still love Ed Gein. He's my favorite serial killer.
Favorite crime story.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's. Where were we?
Oh, he tried to
gave up. Okay, great.
Stealing bodies.
So, Dahmer's return to murder came on November 20th, 1987. He had rented out a hotel room and found 25-year-old Stephen Tuomi in a bar and invited him back. He drugged Stephen and sexually assaulted his unconscious body before blacking out. When Dahmer came to in the morning, he found that he was laying on top of Stephen, whose chest was caved in and black and blue. Dahmer's fists and forearms were bruised, and this horrified him as he had no intentions of killing Stephen and did not remember what he had done at all. Later, he felt that he likely had unsuccessfully tried to rip Stephen's heart from his chest, causing the damage. With his bare fucking hands, you know, just because.
Whoa. Okay. So we have a whole different scale of violence in this case. Like, you can see it, his first rounds
first,
like
yeah first his couple first rounds
round takes other killers maybe a few try yeah like
yeah.
six times to get to that point, and he is on like a whole different level
he's
of escalation.
A different type
what
of
is
person.
This blacking out, is that because
he's
of
drinking.
The alcoholism? Okay.
Yeah.
And he gets so he cannot control his violent tendencies, and he's holding back at this point. Like, it took him a while to kill again.
I feel like he can't control his violent tendencies because he has no control over himself when he's drunk,
right.
But I don't think that excuses him from the behavior.
No.
Well, because he's like, he's acting.
They're
okay.
fantasies.
They're fantasies, but he's drugging these people, and that's as close as he's going to get.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you bring that up, because there are some, like, the older serial killers, I feel like the escalation is so quick. Ted
it's
Bundy,
so
yeah,
quick.
Super fast.
Oh.
Ed Kemper, super fast. Like,
yeah.
All the people from this time frame, even Gacy, I would say,
yeah.
escalated
oh,
pretty
yeah.
quickly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's interesting.
It's a frenzy,
yeah,
is what happens.
Yeah, so many weird details about those cases, and I feel like now it's just like, a crime happened.
Well,
yeah,
I
no.
think that's to
so
protect
like,
the information,
exactly.
Right?
So it's like, really, we don't even know if these things are happening. And they could be.
It's true. I feel like it's harder to be a serial killer now anyway because
it
of
is.
Being videoed
yeah.
and
tracked.
Forensic files.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen, though. His real keys, you whiny motherfucker.
But there's, like, I think also at that time, the, like, urge and, like, standard of society was, like, to be super good. You know, and like super, super good. And even like these bad behaviors, like his alcoholism, oh, it's shrugged aside. Like, oh, it's okay. He should just go to school. It'll be all right. Like that kind of like naive thinking.
Yeah.
And then like these men, they just have so much time to rue in their fantasies. And it's like an obsession. It's like not even a, you know, it's not even a need. It's like this fascination. It's so interesting. Anyway, mm-hmm. Fritz.
I wonder too, like, the homosexuality piece, just of the time frame, and like, is he getting this drunk because of maybe feeling shame for his identity? I have questions.
Well, it seems like this. From an early age, he's been using alcohol to numb his pain, as far as like dealing with his parents divorcing and having a hard time at home, and then, you know, coming to terms with his sexuality. Like, that's a lot of.
It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. So I don't know. It could be like, I'm like, you are just numbing all of your trauma at that point. Yeah. So I can only imagine it was made worse by his sexuality.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. He had to dispose of the body, so he purchased a large suitcase to transport Stephen's body back to his grandmother's house, where he stored it for a week. There's a lot of fucked up shit that's about to come out of my mouth, so... Trigger warning if you want to skip.
Grandma didn't notice.
He put him in the basement. But like she does notice smells as this is occurring.
That's fucking gross. But
Yeah.
It's fucking terrifying. No big deal.
Within 2 hours he dismembered the body. Limbs, head. From the body.
2 hours?
Yeah, 2 hours.
That's fucking quick work, dude.
Dismembered it, removed the bones from the flesh, put all the flesh in plastic bags, made the bones into splinters, and threw everything away. 2 hours.
What the fuck? Whoa. That's like a surgeon could do that.
Yeah.
He was trained as a medical.
Right.
But he's been fascinated. As a combat medic. In combat medic.
I forgot about
but
that
he's
part.
Been
thank
fascinated.
You.
Like, surgeon, that's not taught in combat.
Well, no. You get a certain sense.
Yeah.
That's, like, a whole different scale.
Well,
that's
like somebody who's a surgeon.
Long right? surgeon history of right. learning things. Yeah.
And
like, so his chemist dad working with...
Oh, yeah. True.
With
true.
Animals. So he's already used to taking the flesh off the bone. So it's almost a hunter type situation.
Yeah. He does... He sees it as, like, just a corpse.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's animal or human.
Yeah. Really,
no, they're
that's
the same.
The case for
one
him.
One
in
the same.
Body.
That's the god complex that they get. Like they literally think they're some sort of different race or species compared to normal humans sometimes.
I would argue Dahmer didn't feel that way.
You think
no.
so?
Because of the interviews he gives later.
Yeah.
Really?
If you go back and listen to how he speaks about his crimes after he's been arrested and he's in prison, there's a lot of remorse.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of very empty, lonely feelings that he discussed.
I
obviously
could see it.
He's a horrible person who did horrible fucking things.
It's just the violence is still there.
It's
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not excusing that in any way.
No, I understand. Yeah. Like, yeah, had something gone different, he was totally. But I would also argue that there's a certain switch when it happens. Mm-hmm. And like that person with those types of sentiments is no longer there when they're doing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and like loses that, right?
Right.
Which is sad. And the alcoholism probably was not helping.
No.
So do you think there's an underlying like condition that he's self-medicating with the alcoholism?
I think he has underlying mental health problems that are going unaddressed.
Yeah, like an antisocial personality disorder.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do talk about that a little bit later when it comes to the
sorry, I jumped
court.
The gun.
No, but like it really doesn't. It's not talked about anywhere else because like seeking mental health help doesn't really occur outside of getting involved with law for a lot of people, which is really unfortunate. And Dahmer was one of those cases, and even then, he was still having a lot of. I don't know. There's like a lot of privilege in his identity as a white male.
Yeah.
That I'm going to touch on.
Yeah.
Also, though, there were a ton of opportunities to intervene.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hundreds and hundreds.
Exactly.
Yeah. I see what you mean now.
Yeah.
It's like none of this behavior has been normal this entire
time.
It
escalated.
And no one cared.
Nobody cared.
To even mm-hmm. be like, hey, that's weird.
12 men.
Yeah.
Of not reaching that far of a violence
yeah.
streak.
And I yeah. mean, a streak of sexually mm-hmm. assaulting men in mm-hmm. the military. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. like there's mm-hmm. there's so many places
yeah.
where it was neglected.
Yeah.
But I just empathize with the feelings he discusses, and why he discusses them is fucking gross.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you'll get to, but yeah.
Well, and it's interesting because, like, the police in Germany, because he was stationed there for a period of time, also wanted to investigate him for a series of crimes there, but they determined that he wasn't involved. But it's just, like, who knows? Maybe he did, and nothing's come forward. Because he really did just go from, like, sexually assaulting to, like, horribly, violently outrage pretty quickly. So he kept the head of his victim, which he kept it in a blanket for like 2 weeks, and then he boiled it in industrial strength detergent and bleach to remove the flesh and preserve the skull, which he kept for sexual stimulation until the skull was too brittle from the bleaching, so he crushed it and disposed of it too.
I was going to ask.
Yeah. So here we are with this information. The incident would turn Dahmer's hunt for victims to sexual assault into one of victims to murder. 2 months after Stephen's murder, Dahmer invited 14-year-old James Doxter, who was an indigenous sex worker, to his home to pose for nude pictures. He then drugged and sexually assaulted James when he was unconscious before strangling him to death, leaving his body in the cellar for a week before returning to dismember him. He followed the same process he had for Stephen's body, but this time boiled James's skull to preserve it before pulverizing it a while later. March 24th, 1986, Dahmer met 22-year-old Richard Yarrow at a gay bar and offered him money for them to spend the night together. He brought him back to his grandmother's residence where he drugged and sexually assaulted him before strangulating him with a leather strap. He then performed oral on the body and left it for only 24 hours before dismemberment.
Was he a person of color as well?
I believe so. A good majority of Dahmer's victims are people of color, or specifically men and boys of color, but I'm going to get into a deeper discussion of that here towards the end. On April 23rd, Dahmer convinced another young man to return to his home with him, drugged his coffee, but thankfully his grandmother noticed that he had company, so when the man fell unconscious, Dahmer drove him to the hospital instead. The depravity escalated on March 25th, 1989, when he met 24-year-old Anthony Sears. He was not looking to kill this night, but Anthony was interested in Dahmer and approached him as the bar was closing. He invited him back to his grandmother's house, and they had oral before Dahmer drugged and strangled him, putting his body in his grandmother's bathtub to dismember him. He felt that Anthony was so attractive that it was the only of his victims where he kept the remains, so far, preserving his head and genitalia in acetone, and he kept it in his work locker until he moved to his own home later, that he relocated him. How'd you get a head to work?
Yeah, and like no one saw you carrying a head to work,
and nobody's gonna like, just.
It's weird, dude. The whole thing's weird.
What's going on?
Seems like a lot of missed bystander intervention.
Mm-hmm.
What is the appeal of bringing it with you to work?
I don't know.
He kind of talks about it later, and I don't know if you're going to get into this.
I didn't get into that part.
So he kind of discusses in some of the interviews, and I'm paraphrasing, so if you're interested, I would definitely go watch them, but that part of the reason why he saved people, or like saved people's right. body parts or cannibalized them, which I'm sure you get to later on, was because he felt so alone that he thought he could keep them forever if he
yeah.
did those mm-hmm. things.
Yeah,
that's what I've heard too.
Yeah.
I didn't touch on that. Yeah. I do have like one thing that he told to them that might be pretty interesting, because it touches on something I don't think I've ever heard in correlation with Dahmer.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to that one, because yeah. it's kind of strange and out of place.
But that's
kind
of how he answers that question.
With yeah. that logic of thinking, like, is there a sense that these corpses have a certain, like, liveliness to them, like a certain presence, because he wants them near him at all times of the day.
I think it's still objects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like a
he doesn't see them as people anymore.
For lack of a better term, it's almost like a comfort object, and yeah. I know that's really a disgusting way to frame it, but that's honestly
that's what I figure.
Like, yeah.
He has bodies near him and, like, you know, just presence.
Yeah.
Prior to this, Dahmer had been charged with sexually assault. Blah 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 blah. Prior to this, Dahmer had been charged with sexual assault when he drugged and molested a 13-year-old Laotian boy in his home, and was sentenced to 5 years probation and 1 year house correction. He was registered as a sex offender and got to keep his job, even being released 2 months early.
What the fuck?
Yep.
There's that privilege right there.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now in his own home, free of probation and reunited with his mummified remains of his favorite victim, he went right back to killing in 1990. He christened his first week in his apartment by killing 32-year-old sex worker Raymond Smith, whom he drugged and strangled. The following day, he placed the body in a suggestive position and took Polaroid pictures of it before dismembering him in the bathroom. His process was a little different this time, as he boiled all of the remains in industrial detergent until the flesh was a jelly-like consistency so he could wash it away in the sink. He then dissolved the bones, excluding the skull, in acid, and he spray-painted the skull and put it in display in a metal cabinet next to Anthony's mummy head.
I feel like once he gets on his own, it's just like, it's fucking free-for-all. It doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah, pretty much. And we're going to see that time frame, like, really escalate here, so. There's a lot of death in this part.
Yeah.
A week later, he invited another man into his apartment, but like a dumbass, he accidentally ingested the laced beverage and passed the fuck out.
Oh, wow.
When he came to, the man had stolen some of his clothing, $300, and a watch.
Deserves it.
Yep. Yep.
Deserves it. Deserved more.
I think he actually went and told his probation officer that he had been, like, robbed, too.
Oh, my fucking God, you asshole.
I was trying to kill this guy, and he robbed me.
Yeah, how crazy is that? June of 1990, Dahmer invited 27-year-old Edward Smith to his apartment, drugging and strangling him, but in an attempt to better preserve his body, he instead froze his remains for months, hoping it would make the body lose moisture so the bones would not become so brittle. This instead caused him to destroy the body, and the head exploded when he placed it in the oven.
Why did he put the head in the oven? Is it was he thinking of cooking
it?
I think
he was trying to dry it out and to get the flesh off. Yeah.
He's getting so creative with the ways that he's disposing of his body.
Yeah, this is not the end. 3 months later, he paid 22-year-old Ernest Miller to come to his apartment so he could listen to his stomach and heart.
No, why would you?
I don't
I'm
fucking
blaming
know.
The victim at all, but why would you? Some man's like, hey, can I listen to your stomach and heart? No, sir. No, you cannot. Please.
Like, how much did he offer you?
Yeah. Yeah. He offered him money for it. Yeah.
There, that is again.
That'll do it.
Like, after all of this
all
killing
of these,
and dismembering.
He offers people to come back to his apartment. He'll pay them for nude photos. But, like, this is his MO. He, like, pretty much goes to every single one of them and is like, hey, do you want to come back? I'm a photographer. I'll do, if I want to, you know, take photos
I've
of
heard
you.
Of that, too. Well, and, like, given the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I meant there's
it's
that fucking
gay man. He's
listening.
Like, and maybe we can do, like, and it's in a sexual context.
Yeah.
So the culture's very different.
Yeah, it's trustworthy.
Of, like, the neighborhood, mm-hmm. like, these are people who need mm-hmm. money.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. So he's mm-hmm. preying on them financially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fucking gross.
But the fascination with the hearing of the organs again, like, even despite the fact that he's gotten so close and personal with these bodies,
right.
he still wants to hear someone living how they function.
It's weird. He's just a weird dude.
It's a real morbid curiosity.
Yeah. When he attempted to perform oral on Ernest, he was told that it would cost him extra, so Dahmer drugged him instead. Since he had less sleeping pills than usual on hand, he changed up his MO and slashed his artery. Ernest bled out in minutes, and Dahmer put his body in a suggestive position, took more Polaroid images. He dismembered Ernest's body, taking to kissing his decapitated head as he put his heart, biceps, and flesh from his legs into bags and stored it in his fridge to consume later. This time, he preserved the entire skeleton and coated the head in a spray paint and enamel.
What the fuck?
I don't know what the fuck's going on at this point.
This is like a fucking house of horrors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
22-year-old David Thomas was persuaded into Dahmer's apartment 3 weeks later, but after Dahmer drugged him, he realized that he was not attracted to David, so he killed him out of fear the man would be upset about being drugged.
Right. Because who wouldn't be upset about that?
I was like, well, yeah.
He's like, I was going to kill you because I was sexually attracted to you. Now I'm just going to kill you because it's convenient.
Yeah. Now I don't want to deal with the issue that you could cause. So.
Yeah. It's fucked up. He photographed David's dismemberment, but did not keep any of his body. Dahmer did not kill again for five
That's
months.
Offensive in a way.
Yeah, a little bit. It's like,
so he only keeps people's body parts if he's attracted to them.
Uh-huh.
It's like the mate kind of thing. I feel like it's their. He's their. It's their. He's they're like his. Yeah. Husbands. Yeah.
I get there.
That's weird.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep. Dahmer did not kill again for 5 months, though it is not to say that he did not try, as he simply failed to convince anyone to come back to his apartment. And he would complain to his probation officer that he felt lonely, depressed, and even was expressing some suicidal ideation. When Dahmer was able to kill again, it was more gruesome than ever before, so I give you this warning before I continue on with this case. 17-year-old Curtis Strotter would become Dahmer's next victim in February 1991 when he was picked up from the bus station by Dahmer. He was taken back to his home and killed in the same fashion as the others prior to him had been. Dahmer decided that he would keep the hands, genitals, and head of Curtis and documented every part of the boy's dismemberment. 2 months later, on April 7th, 19-year-old Errol Lindsay was lured into Dahmer's home and drugged, but rather than just killing him, Dahmer drilled a hole into his skull and poured hydrochloric acid into it, hoping it would affect his brain and permanently make him unresistant and the perfect slave. When Errol awoke, however, he only complained of a headache, so Dahmer drugged and killed him as he had the others. He kept the skull and filleted the body, attempting to preserve the skin, only discarding it when it became too brittle.
He drilled this man's head open while he was alive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
In hopes that he can make a living corpse.
Yeah.
Yep.
Literally.
Exactly.
The perfect submissive.
Mm-hmm. There are many, many problems here, and I'm afraid of all of them.
That is so terrifying.
Yep. May 26th, 14-year-old Conorak Sinsophone was unfortunately approached by Dahmer, who coincidentally had molested his older brother in 1989. The boy was hesitant, but the promise of money in exchange for having photos of him taken was too tempting. So he was taken back to the apartment, drugged, and Dahmer performed oral sex on the boy. Then, like Errol, Dahmer drilled a hole into Cornack's skull and injected hydrochloric acid into his frontal lobe while he was still slightly conscious, then guided him back to the bedroom. On the floor was the bloated body of Tony Hughes, who he had killed just 3 days earlier. He let Cornack fall unconscious before he went out to drink at a bar and purchase more alcohol. When he was returning back, he found the boy standing outside naked with three women, speaking in Lao and obviously distressed. Dahmer approached them and told him the boy was his friend and tried to bring him back into his apartment, but the woman did not allow it and told him that they had already called the police. But but like in most of our cases, we are going to be horribly disappointed in the police work. And when they arrived, Dahmer smoothly told them that Conrad was his 19-year-old boyfriend and that they had gotten too drunk and had an argument. The woman could not believe what they were hearing and tried to tell the police that the boy had been was obviously assaulted as he was struggling against Dahmer, to which the police told them to mind their own business and shut the hell up, that this was a domestic issue. It also probably helped that Dahmer was a white male in a community consisting largely of poor people of color, specifically the black community.
Les is like angry but silent angry.
This is more rare for her, I feel.
Yeah, it is.
I don't even know what to say. I'm like, he had his head was there was trauma to his head. They didn't notice. His head was
drilled open.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're like, no, it's a domestic thing. Give him back.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. The police covered up Konrak with a towel and led him right back into Dahmer's apartment. They noticed the bad smell that was likely coming from the decomposing body in the bedroom, but their version of investigating was taking a peek around, not even noticing the rotting corpse on the other side of the bed. They told Dahmer to take care and left the boy with his captor since they did not want to become involved in a domestic dispute with gay men. If the police had done literally any of their job, they would have easily found on Dahmer's record that he was a convicted child molester and was on probation. They likely could have saved Konrak, who was promptly killed by Dahmer by another injection of hydrochloric acid to the brain. The following day, Dahmer dismembered and kept the skulls of both bodies in his apartment. As you can imagine, his neighbors in the apartment complex picked up on the strange happenings in Unit 213. Janae, tell me what you would think if you're complaining to your landlord about bad smells, the sound of things dropping, and the occasional chainsaw.
A murderer
is living in the complex.
Literally a murderer.
Like, I can understand, like, bad smell.
Sure.
Things getting dropped. Okay, sure.
A fucking chainsaw?
What the fuck?
Motherfucker's got a chainsaw in his apartment? That's not normal.
I would be like, I'm leaving. What the fuck is going on here?
And, like, you can smell it. You can mm-hmm. smell death.
Yep.
You're not noticing the string of young men that aren't leaving the apartment?
No. I mean, it's a domestic issue. Mm-hmm. So.
See, this is how much homophobia is so violent. Mm-hmm. They literally probably could not care less if he killed him. It would have made them feel better.
Probably. The landlord went and spoke to Dahmer and about the complaints, to which Dahmer would blame his freezer going out causing food to spoil or that his tropical fish had died. There were no further check-ins on Dahmer from this point. Just ignore it.
Oh, his fish died. He needed a chainsaw for his dead fish.
Yeah.
Dispose of the fish body.
June 30th, 20-year-old Matt Turner would be killed. His head and internal organs were preserved in the freezer. And on July 5th, 23-year-old Jeremiah Weinberger was drugged and boiling water injected into his skull twice, which sent him into a coma that killed him 2 days later. July 15th, 24-year-old Oliver Lacey was killed and Dahmer sexually assaulted his corpse before dismembering him. This kill would result in Dahmer losing his job from calling out too often. So he killed again on July 19th, leaving the body of 25-year-old Joseph Brandoff in his bed for 2 days covered in sheets until Dahmer discovered the body was covered in maggots. He dismembered the body, acidified it, and then kept the head in the freezer.
He would sleep?
Yeah.
It's a weird place to look for intimacy.
Yeah.
And I think there needs to be more conversation around that when mm-hmm. people discuss Dahmer. Yeah. Because I feel like so much people skip over that part. And that is a big part of what we're talking about.
Yeah, it is.
Like the lack of attention that was paid to this person.
Loneliness is a dangerous place to be. Yes. Yeah.
Like there's such a low bar for how much of like your child's like needs you need to meet mm-hmm. when they're children to help them grow with like a healthy coping style.
Yes.
And like that bar is so low.
Well, and I would even argue some of this is an attachment style issue.
Exactly.
And your parents only have to meet 30% of your emotional needs for you to develop a secure attachment. His parents didn't even do that.
Yeah.
30%?
30% of your emotional needs are what you need met as a child to develop a secure attachment to your parents.
Exactly. That's really
sad. So if you have a different attachment style, I would be asking some questions.
Only 30%.
I mean, me too. I also have a bad attention.
Same. I don't think anybody on this podcast does.
Sad.
I
can see that.
His final victim would be 32-year-old Tracy Edwards, as it would be one of the most terrifying accounts of what it would be like to be a prisoner to Dahmer, which I hope you will all come back for next week.
Nice. Cliffhanger.
Right on the tip.
Yeah. Yep.
Damn, dude.
Wow.
Well, if you want to see some pictures of Dahmer.
No crime scenes, because that's fucked.
No crime scenes.
Actually, maybe. There were crime scenes on this, really, now that I think about it. Yeah. Just maybe his apartment.
And, like, maybe we can get some pictures of the victims.
Yeah, up. 100%. We want to honor the victims.
Yeah, so we're going to try to get some of those pictures up for you guys. Go check it out on our Instagram at Not a Boogeyman.
If you want to read the blog post and look at all the resources I have, go check out namnab.com. We have our merch store on there that we'll hopefully get up and running here soon. And you can check out all our content there.
If you haven't already, 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, please. And if you want to pick cases, join our Patreon. We're going to have cool stuff. So come back next week.
And we'll finish this out.
Yeah. We'll finish Dahmer. And then who's next?
You? I think. Yeah.
Bye.